It's me. I'm on a yo-yo.
Hey, we should get pop yo-yos. You've heard of pop pop? How about yo-yo?
Ha!
They're Dunkins.
Dunkins. Yeah. That'd have to be with like the three ball bearings.
Yeah, well, Ben, we're not skimping over here, you know.
Of course not, yeah. I remember I had one as a kid that was like a tire. I don't know if you remember that one or not. You
remember that one, yes.
Now
that you
mention it. Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, the X4 Turbo.
Is that what it was? No, oh, okay.
It sounds like the letters and numbers you might attach to a yo-yo to sell it to a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like whenever the book fair came around, they'd be like, yeah, books. Mom, can I get this yo-yo?
I always liked like the make your own Super Ball.
Yeah.
Like any of the more like interactive-y type of quasi science type things.
Yeah.
Can you stop fiddling with your microphone so I can do my intro?
It was loose.
Okay. Gosh. What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Yes, I am here. I have made it, Ben, which is saying something because I feel like the yuck has been going around like hardcore here recently.
I feel like almost every single person I know is currently sick.
Dude, I mean, I can tell you that here in office, every single person, maybe except you, has missed work because of some sort of fever or ailment or sore throat or something this week.
Yeah.
Tyler, our brother, he'll feel like his whole family is suffering from something right now.
Yeah.
Beth woke up today. Or she's had like a sore throat the past couple of days. All of Thanksgiving break, I had a fever.
I know
this was the worst.
This was such a bummer. We were leaving the office last Wednesday, and we take Thursday and Friday off, so it was gonna be like big, long, nice stretch weekend.
Yeah,
and it was Wednesday. We were done with like all of our work. Like the videos were all uploaded. It was like, why don't we head home early? And come to find out that you had like gone home and like promptly like went to bed.
Oh my gosh.
And it was
yeah.
just like, man, what happened?
Well, actually, before that, you'll recall that on Wednesday, you and I went over to the rescue mission to pick up our packets for the drumstick dash.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Don't get me started on that, by the way.
On the drumstick dash.
We'll come back to it. But okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, when we went there, I went to check in and I was like, you know, just gave them everyone in my family's name and they're like, okay.
For the walk, correct? The walk is what you were doing?
That?
The walk at 9 and not 8:30? Sorry, we'll come back to it.
Well, when I checked in, I didn't know what Beth signed us up for.
Oh.
But they're looking at the screen and they're like, Jonathan Carlin, like, you're... walking, I'm like, I don't know, I guess so. Because like every time me and Beth had talked about it, it was sort of like she hadn't been feeling well, and so she wasn't sure if she wanted to run because she didn't want to run unless she was going to be able to like run and like race.
Of course, she's like also coming off of like her like prime
marathon
training.
Yeah, she's coming off of her like marathon training, so she's in like really good running shape. But then she was also like sick for like a week in between there, so she hadn't been able. So she like it was unclear. So when they told me like, yeah, it says you're walking, I was like, okay, well, I guess we're just walking. That's fine, you know. So then, I go to leave, they give us all the t-shirts and I'm like, do I need to get like numbers? And they're like, no, you only need numbers if you're running. And I was like, okay. So then I get home and Beth's like, where's the numbers? And I'm like, they said we were signed up for walking. And she was like, no, I signed us up for running. And I was like, but they looked at the screen and they said that we were signed up for walking.
Yeah.
And then she pulls it up on her email and sure enough, she's like, it says running. And I'm like, well, they told me walking and I don't, they were looking at the screen too. And I don't, so then me and Luke had to drive all the way back. We left work early on Wednesday because it was like, we're pretty much done. So I had to drive all the way back down to the rescue mission, which is like basically next to our office.
Yeah.
So it was a real bummer. By the time I got, me and Luke went all the way down there, all the way back. It was basically just like a regular day getting home, not so early.
Ugh.
But at least I got those race numbers, which then I didn't even use because I got a fever like half an hour later and remained that way for the next 4 days.
Nor did this information get transferred to anybody else in the meantime as well.
Oh.
So next morning, I get up and like my whole Thanksgiving morning. So I'm like smoking a turkey. And this is like one of those things that Alice and I did last year. We actually vlogged it for the very first time ever. We like smoked a turkey, and pretty much neither of us even like remembered doing it because it was like 1 month into having Addy. So like I literally like went back and like watched my vlog from last year just to figure out like what I had even done. But like Alice didn't even remember that we made a turkey hard stop. Like it was the first time ever we had ever made one, and she didn't even remember doing it,
man.
Which I think was pretty crazy. But so otherwise I was trying to figure out like, okay, so, we've got this, I had actually gone out. I went through like a whole rigmarole. I like subscribed to this program called like ButcherBox, and ButcherBox was supposed to send me this like premium Thanksgiving Day turkey,
right?
Whatever.
Yeah.
And then, so like, you know, I had ordered that on like November 4th, like plenty of time. And so like the days are going by and the days are going by, and I'm like, man, if this thing doesn't arrive, it's not going to thaw in time.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, like I go on and like check the tracking, and it's like, oh, we got lost in Atlanta. And it was just like, that was just it.
So there's just like a frozen turkey somewhere.
Not so frozen anymore.
Probably
I bet.
Not. There's like a medium damp turkey somewhere in Atlanta.
Yes, yes, gotcha. Exactly. Probably sweating.
Terrible
mental image.
What a terrible series of words.
Kind of makes my stomach squirm a little bit. Anyway, so that turkey never arrives. And so then I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to have to go to the store and get one because we're like closing in now on time to get one. And basically, this is on like, you know, Monday with Thanksgiving on Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And you know, like, it's like, you know, I go home and put it in the fridge, and it's like, it's still frozen as of like Wednesday afternoon or whatever.
Man, how long does it take a turkey to thaw? Like a week?
Like 5 days in the fridge.
Man.
Yeah. So then I'm talking to brother-in-law Mike, and he's like, well, I got like a free turkey that I actually just happened to thaw because he has like his like meal prep business.
Classic.
And it was like a promotional thing. So he had like a thawed turkey, and he's like, well, I'll trade you. But so now it's like a 19-pound turkey instead of like the smaller turkey that I had purchased.
Oh.
And so I'm like, oh my gosh. So like, you know, Alice and I are trying to figure out like how long do we need to smoke this thing for, because like we just don't know, and neither of us remembers anything from last year, and we're just trying to like figure it out. And like there's the stress of like hosting Alice's family like at our house and having everything be ready, and the pressure of being the person who's like delivering like the centerpiece,
the turkey.
And so I just want to do a good job, and I'm just trying to like sort everything out. So like Alice and I are like, you know, she like pulls it up the night before, and she's like, okay, it says here that you need like 30 minutes for every like half pound of meat on the bird.
Why would they phrase it that way?
I don't know.
Why wouldn't they just say an hour per pound?
Oh, wait, maybe I have it wrong. Maybe I said that incorrectly.
Okay.
It was going to translate to about like 8.5 hours.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe it's a half hour.
I thought you were going to say like, it's going to translate to, we need to put it in basically right now.
Well, so that was the thing. Yeah. It's like, even at this point in time, like I'm wanting to like brine the turkey overnight, but like that, like on the instructions, it's like brine for like, you know, like 18 to 24 hours or whatever, which I have at this point in time, absolutely not done.
Right.
And so I still ended up brining it for like, you know, 7 hours through the night before I woke up at like 5 a.m.
mm-hmm.
to go and put it on the smoker. So then I'm up super early. This is Thanksgiving Day, knowing I've got like the drumstick dash, you know, pending here in a few hours, but like I'm up, I'm ready. Like, you know, I'm just sitting there doing like some Christmas shopping and drinking my coffee.
Yeah.
Super early in the morning, get the thing on the smoker. My smoker has a probe that speaks to my phone. So like when Alice gets up out of bed at like 7, I go to just check it just to be like, hey, like, you know, this is what temperature we're at. And it was like already at like 100 degrees internal temp. And we're aiming for like 161 degrees.
Okay.
I think. So it's like already way too warm in there.
Okay.
So then I'm like, wait a second. It shouldn't be this warm yet. Like, that's not right at all. So then I start poking around on the internet, and it's just like, apparently what Alice had read was just like the one article that was just like wrong.
Oh, no.
And way overshot it. So like at most I needed like maybe like 4.5 hours, but now I'm like a good hour and 45 minutes into this smoke already. Like the bird is already like partially cooked. And so it's like,
right.
Now I have
you
this.
You can't
like,
stop.
You can't stop. And it's like, my family's not going to be here until 2.
Yeah.
To eat this.
So what do you do? Just like lower the temperature?
Well, so you like lower the temp. Yeah, for sure. Like you're going to have to do like some finagling to like try to like not completely. Literally all day I was imagining Christmas Vacation where they cut into that turkey and it just like rips open like a hot airbag.
Yeah.
it was just like, this is going to be disgusting and horrible. And you know, like I said, like my brother-in-law, Mike, is like a, you know, he like cooks for a living, and I'm just like, he's going to be so ashamed of me, and nobody's ever going to let us host again. I'm just going to ruin everything. So I'm totally having like a
so weird.
So weird. That's me and Jay's new favorite misquote from the movie Onward. which by the way is like a much better movie. I feel like, I didn't give it enough credit when it came out. The more we keep going back and pulling stuff from it, the more I'm like, Onward is great. So,
you say that, but I think Onward is one of the few movies where when we do like our reviews that you gave it a higher score than me.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's unusual.
I'm typically way more forgiving of stuff than,
yeah,
than
I'm not.
You.
I think I've grown very strict in my old age.
Yeah.
Anyway, though, so I'm having this like stressful morning just trying to figure out like what I'm doing with my turkey here. And I'm like, okay. And now we got like, you know, I'm like, all right, but the walk. Like Jay said yesterday, he's doing the walk. Mom and Dad are going to be out there. Like they are like super big cyclists, but they're not like runners anymore. So like, I can't imagine that they're going to be like, you know, especially if Jay and Beth are going to be walking, like bet Mom and Dad will just be walking. So I had bought race numbers for Alice and I to go at like 8:30, but I'm like, this will be fine. Like we'll just get
together.
There. We'll all walk together. So I get downtown and I'm like, you know, like walking around the area and, you know, I'm like, oh, it's going to be so fun. Like, you know, we're going to run into everybody, like happy Thanksgiving. It's like, I'm all jazzed and everything. And I can't find anyone, which is not necessarily a huge surprise because it's a sea of people.
Right. Yeah. So, big event.
Right. So now like I'm starting to just like call everybody and I'm like, you know, like I'm just like letting the phone ring through. I'm like going through like my favorites on my phone. It's like Mom, Dad, Jonathan, Beth, you know, and I'm like just like hitting like all the numbers, like just like someone must answer.
Right, but
like,
everyone's running.
Well, so that's the thing, yeah, is that like I'm like actively like trying to figure all this out. And then Beth finally is the one who answers the phone, because the first time I called her, it rang like one time and then like went straight to voicemail. And I'm like, oh, I bet it didn't actually ring. Oh. I bet it did that thing like where like the calls got like jammed and it just like,
yeah,
whatever. But what I actually think happened was Beth probably is mid run, sees me calling, and is like, nope.
Yeah.
And so like a couple minutes later, I call her again and she's like, hey, what you need? Is everything okay? You know, and like, of course, like she's like racing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, are you running? Okay, I'm sorry, bye. You know, and then I'm like, oh my gosh, I bet I just totally threw Beth off. And sure
enough, she did get a PR.
Well,
by 1 second.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So basically that was the thing. It's like, you know, so then texting like a few minutes later, she ends up like finishing the race because like she started at 8:30. We're there getting ready for like the 9 o'clock start of the walk. And she's like, oh, time my PR. And I'm like, great.
Great.
Great. You want to know what probably threw you off by like one second? Me.
Oh no.
That phone call. So then I'm starting to feel awful. But in the meantime, also I'd like try to call Mom. Mom's like, hey, we're coming around Jefferson. And I'm like, what the heck is going on with this day? And then I can't get you to respond. And then Mike is in the GMA chat on our phone and he's like, what's everybody's Thanksgiving meal or like Thanksgiving meal dish? And you respond in there. And I'm like, Jay, where are you? Like, I am actively looking for you right now and cannot find you. You said you were walking. I'm like losing my lid.
Oh man.
Oh man.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. But I mean, the honest truth is that I was really stressed about the turkey.
Yeah.
And it was all coming out over not being able to find anybody at the Drumstick Dash as we're trying to like, you know,
yeah,
go through.
My answer to Mike's question of favorite dish was also turkey.
Yeah. My answer to Mike's question was pickled eel livers.
Oh yes. Yeah. I remember you saying that now that you rebring it back up.
Yeah. Of course. The all too traditional gift.
The thing is though, it's like, it's funny to me that like you're like totally freaking out about the turkey. And it's like, sure enough, if you're the one hosting, you got to do the turkey. You got to do it right. You got to put in all this prep work. But like, rarely do I find that anyone's favorite Thanksgiving food is turkey.
Yeah.
You know, it's
I mean, that's fair.
It's the most work and almost no one's favorite.
Right. It's like, why don't we just like have like the green bean casserole be like the big center dish?
Being the big center dish. I don't know. I mean, I that is probably my favorite side dish.
Okay.
But my favorite, I am one of those people. I'm like, the turkey. I want the turkey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I will say that when all was said and done, because I'm sure people are just absolutely dying to know, the turkey ended up being great.
Excellent.
Yeah, I was super proud. And it was one of those things where I went out and I covered it in like aluminum foil.
Mm-hmm.
And I eventually brought it inside, the whole family is like looking at me, you know, like Mike is like getting like his carving tools ready and everything. Cause like one of the absolute best things about having someone who's like a food person, in the family is that like Mike can carve this thing into these like
so well.
Spectacular, like turkey steaks. Really cool. Really good. Great job, Mike, if you're listening. And I like go to like take the foil off and it is just like, womp, womp. Like it's the normally things coming off the smoker look like amazing because it's got this like caramelization and all the rest.
Yeah.
But like this is just, it's almost like slightly like not, I wouldn't even describe it as like sooty, but like it just didn't have like quite the like
golden brown glow to it.
So like the whole, everybody in the family knows I've been like now freaking out for most of the day and they're all looking at me like, no, it looks great. Like it doesn't look
great. It doesn't look great, but it tasted great.
It did end up tasting great. And I was very proud of it and I even ate all the leftovers. So nice. I would say it was a win. In the end, we made it. Whew. Okay. So anyway, all that to say though, Thanksgiving Day traditions, certainly a little bit wibbly wobbly.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
You know, as far as getting all the things done the way that I thought they were going to go on this particular day, which I think is interesting because you have in our show notes for today a little tidbit about the family politics of changing a shopping tradition for Christmas, which feels like a happy little segue there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you're right. This is like, it's so interesting getting to this stage of our lives now where like you and me and Ty all now have kids and wives and therefore like everyone has like a whole series of in-laws that they also have to deal with when organizing around other holidays.
Yeah.
And like, it's really, it's so like, I can't even imagine what this is like for like other families where that where all of that is true. And then also like imagining like you and me and Ty living in three separate states that are all different from mom and dad.
Okay. But here's the thing. This is what I almost think is like part of the issue with our specific situation, because I think because all three of the brothers and mom and dad and all of our in-laws like live in Roanoke, Virginia, I think it gives the illusion that it's going to be easy.
Ah, you're right.
And so it's almost like if we were like on the far reaches of like wherever, you know, and it was like, hey, I'm gonna have to come in from Ohio, you know, I'm staying at mom and dad's, like that's where we're gonna be. Like, even if it was just one of us that had to like dictate that like specific terms, like this is like the special situation where we can all be together. Like, I think that that has like a certain amount of like gravity to it, like a certain amount of like weight. It's like you could be like, Beth, Ben is never in town. He is here for like 4 days. Like, yeah. You know, like it gives, I mean, not to say that like it makes anything less important for anybody else's like situation, but like as it stands right now, like our entire family can go out to dinner on a random Tuesday if we so desire.
Yeah.
Which is a fantastic perk of our circumstance. But when it comes to holidays,
yeah,
all of a sudden it's
it is tricky because like no, and everyone like wants to be respectful of everyone else's like needing to like, you know, see the appropriate family members on the day and stuff. And but because everyone's in town, everyone's just like very like, yeah, whenever works. And like no one will hard commit to anything.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
And that's it's the just, yeah. And I had me and Beth were having this whole conversation. I was like, Beth, we just need to be like the people, like everyone's trying to be respectful of everyone. We just need to be the ones who are like, this is what we're doing. And then like as one person needs to cement it.
Yes.
And then everyone can work around that. And then like, even that it was like, you're right. Like if you had someone out of state who was like coming in, like Beth has a brother who was coming in out of state. And
yeah.
It was like, Daniel, could you tell us when you're coming? And like, no one could get a response from Daniel. And every time they did, it was like, well, actually it changed. And now we're going to be here from Tuesday to Thursday instead of Wednesday to Sunday. And it was like, just somebody.
Somebody needs to be the person. And this is the thing too, is that it's like, this is almost like, I always talk about this with like bachelor parties and stuff like that, or bachelorette parties, like where everybody is going to celebrate one person. It's like there is a kind of magic associated with those trips because everybody there is there for the same reason and everyone agrees. Like, you know, if it's our younger brother Tyler's bachelor party, it's like whatever Tyler wants is what we all want. And
right.
So it's like where do we want to eat dinner? And Tyler's like, I really want barbecue. It's like,
let's do it.
Do you want to know what all of us want? barbecue,
you
know, like you don't have that one person who's like, I kind of prefer tacos.
I just had this is the same phenomenon. I mean, you're basically the same thing you're talking about, but Luke's birthday was 2 days ago.
Yeah, happy birthday, Luke.
Happy birthday, Luke.
Five.
I have a 5 year old now. Oh my gosh, it's absolutely wild.
It is.
It is like that's it's especially strange with Luke because Luke being the oldest means that every time Luke has a birthday, it also means that like Beth and I have reached a new number of years that we have been parents.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. So yeah, we have not been parents for 5 years, and it's like I can't even believe it's already been that long. Like I cannot believe it.
I know. Yeah.
It's wild.
It's like mind boggling. Like how quickly, I mean, that's what people always say, like the days are long and the years are short. And
yeah.
It's like, this could not be more true.
So true. It's so true. But yeah. So like, it's his birthday, 2 days ago on Tuesday. And it's like amazing how, like when it's his birthday, it's like, yes, everything we're doing today is just about you. Like whatever you want, we're going to make it happen. And or, you know, like it's all sort of revolving around you. It makes it like so much easier to like justify any behavior around that. It's like normally you have to like balance like, OK, we need to make sure we're all taking turns. Whatever Nick wants to do or whatever Nate wants to do or whatever, you know, whatever it is. But it's just like, nope, it's Luke's day. So whatever, everything's about that today.
Yeah.
So and it just makes it like very go with the flow. It is nice having like that good rallying point, but to work around. But I will say, Luke's birthday this year, I thought it was actually really fun.
Yeah. What all did you guys do?
Oh man, it was like a morning to bedtime. Just like I feel like he had just a great day. He woke up kind of early, which is pretty usual.
Yeah.
But we had assembled his gift downstairs the night before. We got him an easel for his room.
Very cool.
Yes.
Very cool. I know he's been like very into like the art scene lately.
Yeah, he's in a big like coloring, drawing sort of like stage right now. And this one, I think it's like a Melissa and Doug thing. But I was telling mom about it and she was like, oh man, I always wanted an easel when I was growing up. And I was like, really?
That is so interesting.
That was so fun. I was like, oh, I didn't know that. But now like I remember like you and I, or like you and me and Ty had an easel growing up. It was like a little play school one. And I remember even as a kid always feeling frustrated about the easel because it was this like it had two sides to it.
Yeah.
And on one side it had this like very flimsy clip that could barely hold up what would need to be a very large pad of paper.
Right. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So that you could draw on it. But if I recall, we had one pad of paper like ever. And you know, it got like, you know, used up really quickly. And then we just never replaced that pad ever. So that side was basically done. Then the other side was chalk.
Yeah.
And we never had chalk.
Never had chalk. I feel like it also like we had like scribbled across it so many times that it never erased.
Yeah.
So it was also like, even if you did have chalk, it was like, it wasn't going to like write.
Yeah, it didn't write well. Cause you know, you're right. And this is, it is a chalkboard, but it's like, it's a bad chalkboard.
Yeah.
So that was my memory of having an easel, but this one is great. It is chalkboard on one side, but it is like a proper chalkboard that is also magnetized. So you can like play with magnets on it. That's cool.
Love
the other side is dry erase.
Ooh.
Which is great because,
I love dry erase.
Yeah. Dry erase is great. So, you can immediately erase it effectively. And then it also has a place to hold a big roll of paper in the center so that you can like drape it over the front and like clamp it down.
Oh, smart.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. I will tell you that if I ever reach a level of just absolutely like nutty wealth,
yeah,
then the thing I'm going to do is hire a person who can always roll out a whiteboard when I need it.
Oh, yeah.
So, and like, you know, I would be like at like a restaurant and I'm like trying to explain an idea and I'm like, Jeremy, thank you.
Yeah.
Hang on. Now let me. I don't know why his name's Jeremy, but probably could and should be.
Oh.
But then I can like bust out my whiteboard scribble drabbles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's an episode, or there's a my boys watch Mickey and the Roadster Racers a lot, which is always half an episode of like the race cars and then half an episode of the Happy Helpers, which is Minnie and Daisy's business where they just get called to help go do stuff.
Oh, cool.
And then so one episode they get hired to go help Mr. McSnorter go be have a relaxing day because he's overworking and it's stressing out his family.
Okay.
Mr. McSnorter works in the condiment business, and there's a big game coming up, and they're not going to have enough condiments there. So he keeps getting interrupted on his relaxing day by his assistant, Laramie.
Laramie!
He keeps yelling it into the phone. I was like, that is the best assistant's name ever.
It's a great choice of just like, this doesn't need to be any like, it probably isn't anyone's name.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's like, hi, I'm Laramie. Yeah,
no, like, where did they even come up with that?
Is that Larry? Yeah. Jeremy?
Oh, yeah. I had it's to like both. Turn the captions on and be like, what is he saying? It's Laramie.
Okay. Laramie. Okay. I like it. Although that name could be catching on now.
Maybe it is. Yeah. Maybe it is.
It's like, it's all the rage.
Yeah. So anyway, we got the easel. It came downstairs. He was immediately excited about that. You know, we opened all of his other presents, which were just like easel accessories, you know, the markers and the chalk and stuff.
Sure. Yeah, of course. Yeah,
so that's all good. Then what did we do? Oh, we had a ton of balloons. Those balloons.
Love balloons. You
know, I got this big like 5-foot-tall Captain America balloon that I had like a hand pump I was pumping up last night or the night before.
Awesome.
He was very excited about that.
Yep.
That was fun. Then he went to school where, you know, you get like the birthday crown and everyone was all excited. He brought munchkins to school. Oh, Beth got donuts for him in the morning too. So that was good. And then after work, we went to Kabuki here in town, which is like a hibachi restaurant.
Yeah, this is like one of those things where like Kabuki is I think I've even described it before because Alice and I, it's probably our favorite place to go out and eat because they have this like sushi room over in the corner, and it's like I always refer to it as like the best kept secret, but like Kabuki is otherwise probably, if you were just coming to Roanoke and like sorting by reviews, probably the most highly reviewed, just like by numbers and by rating. It's like, it's probably just like the most popular restaurant in Roanoke.
Oh, is it?
I think it is.
Huh. That's very interesting.
So it's funny. Cause I always, it's like me and Alice go to like the little sushi room that like, there's no way
ever anyone in there,
like maybe two people. And anyway, so I always think that's hilarious. Like a little best kept secret at the most popular place in town.
Yeah.
Anyway, so hibachi, did they, like, that's an exciting one because it's like a whole show and like the volcano.
Yeah,
and...
yeah. So yeah, it was very fun. Like, yeah, Luke had never been to like a hibachi restaurant where they do like, yeah, all the flipping the shrimp into your mouth and make the onion volcano and all this stuff. I will say, like, our guy was very good. He was very nice. I think maybe he was like a more on the greener side of things. You know, we got like the matinee show, maybe.
Okay.
Or like the early crowd.
Right.
But still very good, still very good, still very impressive to Luke by all means.
Oh yeah, 100%. Did they flip the shrimp into his mouth?
So Luke, I told him about that ahead of time. I was like, oh yeah, they like throw shrimp in your mouth, and he was like, I just don't like shrimp. So he was, I think if maybe we had just asked them to like do chicken or something, he would have been more into it. But because he offered it to him like several times, it was very obvious that it was Luke's birthday. He was still wearing his birthday crown from school.
I love it.
You know, he was just like covering his mouth like no. But I think because mostly he didn't want to have shrimp in his mouth.
Okay.
Was the problem. But they did do the flip thing, and then I caught it twice in a row.
What?
No big deal. And Luke thought that was very cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's exceptionally cool.
I know. Yeah. And, you know, he did the thing where he, like, you know, they did the volcano and he had, like, the big flare ups and, you know, he, like, lit his fingers on fire and stuff like that.
Oh,
so
that's fun.
Did all the other fun stuff. That was all good. And Luke was loving it. Nick also really loved it. Nate, not so much. When they like did the big flare up on the table, like that like wave of heat that hits you, that like really spooked him. So he was not as much of a fan.
That is totally reasonable. There is something very jarring. And I'm trying to think of like where the other place in life is where they like have like an inferno of heat that like goes off and it sort of like, it hits you in a way that is like, that was like very warm just now. And it's like, for the life of me, part of me thinks it's like the Indiana Jones experience at Disney World or something. Do they have like a big like flame that goes off?
I think
off?
They do. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like unexpectedly hot.
Yeah.
But that in like extremely loud noises.
Oh yeah.
I feel like if you're ever around like an actual jackhammer or like certain like power tools and stuff, it's like it makes like my insides like feel like they're like squeezing or something.
Yes.
It's like something about being around this is like it makes me upset, and it's like I don't even know. I can watch the person is obviously not harming themselves or anybody else or anything else, but it's like I don't know.
Oh, there is absolutely. I mean, and like loud noises can be like, you know, physically harmful to you.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
If they're loud enough. Like I remember back at the concert venue I used to work to, we would have Monster Jam come through.
Oh, yeah.
The monster trucks, which I mean, let me tell you, Roanoke is not where you want to come to see monster trucks. I mean, it's you know, hey, you get to see them. They're cool. They're there. But it is like the smallest an arena can be and still have monster trucks. You know?
Oh, man.
So, like, they can do, they can't, you know, they can't, like, do laps around it or anything. It's like they can basically go in sort of a straight line. There's one big jump and, like, you know, sort of about it. But, I mean, it's still fun. I like Monster Jam.
You're selling it.
I'm selling it hard.
Actually,
I know.
What you're really doing is making me want to go and see monster, because I've only ever seen monster trucks here.
I know.
It's like, am I missing out on, like, a lot of what monster trucks has to offer?
Well, that was what I learned working there, was that, like, yeah, because I'd only ever seen monster trucks at the Civic Center, and I would go to the shows and I thought they were awesome.
Yeah,
you know, but then I would like go online and there, you know, there are monster shows like in the middle of like football stadiums, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Where they could like they could like launch and they can do like laps, they can have multiple ones out there at the time like racing and stuff. It's like, oh, this is, that's way better. Okay. So that's cool.
But here's a question about monster trucks that I need to know the answer to. Is it all just a show, or are they actually there competing with one another?
No, they're actually competing.
They are. Okay. So yeah. like if like Gravedigger wins, like Gravedigger actually like won. It's not just like everybody loves Gravedigger, so like we gotta have it win.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Like, I don't know if it's the case that like the other trucks just like maybe I don't know as much about how the sausage is made.
Okay.
Because, like, if you were to watch it, it would be, like, it's obvious that, like, Gravedigger won, like, the freestyle. Like, they definitely did the coolest stuff.
Okay.
But is it, like, yeah, but that's because they just, the other drivers don't go all out for the sake of the crowd.
Oh, right. Like I mean, that's the type of thing where it's, like, who gets to drive Gravedigger tonight?
No, that's not a thing.
That's not a thing.
No, that's, so like, that, the Gravedigger has a driver.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And it's, like, them specific.
Yeah.
Because I remember going to, like, the, like, Medieval Nights, like, you know, like, the thing where you go and you watch, I don't know, jousting and,
oh, yeah,
and all
yeah.
the rest. But, like, my suspicion is that, like, on any given night, a different knight can win. Or is it always the Yellow Knight?
I think my guess with Medieval Times is that it's not always the same knight that wins, but it is still a predetermined knight that will win. Like, all the knights are still in on the script for the evening.
I see.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. Okay.
But so, like, for, like, when they come to Roanoke, there's like three competitions. There's like the race, there's the jump, and then there's the freestyle. So my suspicion is that for the jump and the race, it is whoever just wins,
right,
like out there. But then on the freestyle, like tricks, they're maybe like, okay, we got to let Gravedigger put on a show, because that's like the big,
that's like what people came for.
Yeah, that's what people came for. It's like, you know, like the same thing with like wrestling. Like WWE would come a lot, but there was two different kinds of shows you could get.
Yeah.
You could either get like WWE Live, where you were like, they were, cameras were rolling, you were the show that night. You
right.
know, like everyone watching around the country is watching your venue.
Right.
And that was the ones that would like really sell out. But sometimes they just do like venue shows. And it's like, if the venue shows, it's like, doesn't really, like, you know, there's no cameras or whatever. And in that case, it's like, well, first of all, they typically don't bring like John Cena to the venue show or something.
Okay,
you know,
sure,
it's like,
sure.
It's like, you're not going to get like the super duper A-listers. But whoever the big promoted person is, it's like, yeah, like if say John Cena's there, like John Cena's winning no matter what.
Right.
You know, like they're going to do all the crowd pleasing in the world at the venue show where there's no stakes.
Oh, sure. I got you.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm learning more about showmanship. Thank you for this like crash course 101. Okay. So anyway, you get through hibachi dinner for Luke's birthday.
Oh yeah. We get through the hibachi dinner. Yeah. And then our next stop on the evening is we go over to Build-A-Bear Workshop.
Love it.
Which I had never been to before.
I think I have only ever been to Build-A-Bear when I was like 17.
Oh man.
And I think it was like, you know, it was like one of those classic, like, oh, I'm in high school and on a date and I'm gonna go and do like the cute little Build-A-Bear thing. And
yeah,
like my recollection of it was like, I actually love like, and this is what like Build-A-Bear like falls under. It's like mass customization.
Yeah.
It's like if you go to Disney and like build your own droid or like lightsaber or something like that. It's like basically everybody is walking out with a thing that could conceivably be like called a lightsaber or a teddy bear or a droid. But like everybody's can very easily be like very different.
Yeah.
It's literally the Subway model, but for like a thing
yeah.
that you can like keep.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Which is kind of like very fun and exciting. But I do remember getting there and it was almost like the decisions that you got to make were like how stuffed it was. Like there, yeah. there like wasn't as much like, you know, this is probably now what, like 15 years ago. So it sounds like they've developed quite a bit. But did Lukester have a blast?
Oh, he had an absolute blast. Yeah. He went through, I mean, they have, you know, you get to go pick out your stuffed animal skin or whatever. Yeah,
the hide.
The hide, as it were. Yeah. So he got some like yellow, pink, like mermaid bear
I love
thing.
It.
Yeah.
I love
that it. Was very fun. Yeah. It is the customization things are interesting. Like, you know, they do ask, yeah, do you want it soft or like a little bit harder? And then you can choose like the little heart, which they have several different like patterns on the hearts, but like it doesn't matter because it's going inside the bear.
Right.
Like you're not going to see it.
But you know it's in there.
You know it's in there. You can choose a scent to put inside the bear as well, too.
Oh, that's cool. Interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
We didn't like do that, which okay. I'm kind of glad I don't need this like smelly
animal. Gotcha. Sure.
You know, car freshener thing. It's basically one of those things that like shove inside
it's like a leaf.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Still got the little like nylon like dangly.
That's
thing.
What it looked like to me. But then there's like all like the clothes and like accessories or like they had all sorts of stuff. You could put like roller skates on them and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. They had like, and then there was like a lot of Pokemon themed stuff or Harry Potter themed stuff or just, you know, generic bear things or whatever.
Generic bear. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But Luke and Nick and Nate all just, you know, made their own little teddy bears and they had a blast there. That was super fun. And yeah, that was our day. We did hibachi and Build-A-Bear and
I just want to say that if at any point in time in the future you want to plan this exact same birthday for me, I would be plenty delighted.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Ben turns 35 and we're going to
donuts. Love them.
Donuts.
Captain America balloons. Love them.
Mm-hmm.
Hibachi meals. Delicious.
Yes.
And I could build myself my own bear.
There you go. There you go.
It could be great.
It could be. Yeah.
Little Ben.
Little Ben. Little Ben.
Little Ben the bear. Oh, man.
That sounds super fun.
Yeah. I think it would be a really great time. Anyway, okay. Well, well done on Luke's 5th birthday. And well done for now setting the bar very high
for
birthdays to come.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, it was a well-known fact that I very much loved my birthday.
It was, yeah. Yes. We would always go on Friday nights, I feel like, we would always, because Dad worked in Roanoke and we lived in Rocky Mount. And so Friday nights, it was like, we would always go meet Dad for dinner, which was this like, you know, 40-minute drive from Rocky Mount to Roanoke. And I feel like maybe like 60% of those drives, the conversation topic in the car was, let's plan Ben's birthday.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like, you know, it's my birthday's in October and it's June, but yeah. Like, is it too early to start discussing it?
We need to get themes on the table, people. Are we doing dinosaurs or pirates? You know,
dinosaurs, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
Pirates of the Caribbean hadn't come out yet. So, like, at this point in time, dinosaurs, 100%.
100%, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Land Before Time.
Cooler.
What was the something shaped leaf?
Tree stars.
Tree stars.
Yeah.
Tree stars.
Yes.
Delicious.
Delicious. It was like, yeah, they man, Littlefoot carries that tree star around for a long time. We're like, dude, just eat it, man.
It's going to be fine.
Come on.
It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, I think we sort of touched on this. We never really came back to it, but I think it is an interesting topic because I'm sure that we're not the only people who are going through it, but it's the family politics of changing a shopping tradition. So this is like an interesting one too, because we were just talking about it. Like all of our family lives in the same place.
Yeah.
At this point in time, there are 7 grandchildren across, like you and Tyler both have 3 kids each, and we have Allison and I have Addison, and then like obviously mom and dad. So it ends up being like quite a large event. And I would say that like growing up, mom and dad like definitely I think had a blast with Christmas.
Yes.
I feel like they were always like really, really, really good. Like dad always loved doing like the, like I always use this as the example, although it wasn't an example of one of the ones for us specifically, cause we just weren't the right age for it. But like the Tickle Me Elmo growing up was this like crazy hard to get like toy. And it was like, you know, like you couldn't find them on the shelves. It was like the must have gift of the season. And they like, there was like one of these things every single year. And dad was always like so good about like
hunting them down.
Hunting them down. And not just hunting them down, but he would like go to like all the places and like make friends with like the people who worked there. And like they would like have his phone number and like call him and be like, hey, we just got one in. You get over here right now?
Yeah. Like,
and so anyway, as a result though, I feel like growing up, it was, I mean, the most fun ever, but like also like an embarrassment of riches on Christmas morning.
Sure.
And at this point in time, it's like, I don't know if more room in the house is occupied by humans, which there are now quite a plenty of, or just gifts underneath the tree because there are so many of us.
There are a lot.
But the big question, like kind of growing up, what we always watched like our mom and her siblings do, because she has three siblings, was like they would do, who are all then, you know, of course, married.
Yeah, so there's like eight of them now.
Eight of them. Yeah. So they would do like the Secret Santa thing where like everybody would draw a name out of a hat and you would just basically like buy for like one person and that one person would get like one gift.
Right.
From, you know, like you and like everybody would just like sort of triangulate this way and like get all the things filled. So coming into this year, and gift giving is definitely one of like my love languages. Like I very much enjoy it. Like I'm 100% at the point where like as a kid, I would always look for like the gifts under the tree that were left for me to still open.
Right, of course, yeah.
You know, now I always like, as I'm always like spotting like my own wrapping paper. It's like, oh, I've got like three left. Oh, and Jay hasn't even opened his yet. Yes. Like I'm so excited. Like I still get to like watch that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I was the one who lobbed it out this year. And it was like, I in a way I almost felt like it was like my responsibility. Cause I was like, I'm the one who I feel like has this like very, like, I feel like it's a very like big part of my personality is like the gift giving aspect. And so I was like, hey guys, like should this year we finally just start doing it the other way?
Right.
Like, should we just start doing like the
Secret Santa.
The Secret Santa. And tell me what your thoughts were, because I was very surprised at the response.
I mean, I think I would be maybe in favor, because it was really tricky because like the way it mathed out didn't end up being that different. Like at the moment, what you would get is it's more like, like right now, me and Beth would have to get like a gift for what, like,
let's say like me and like our like Tyler's wife Emily or something. So like you guys would come to Christmas and like you would already buy gifts for each other at home,
right?
And then you would buy gifts for two of the people there, which would ultimately mean you were only buying two fewer gifts, right?
Right. Like I guess right now, would we buy a gift for like you and Alice and Tyler and Emily?
Correct.
Right.
So you guys would buy four gifts.
We would buy four gifts.
For family. Yep.
Right. Whereas if we did Secret Santa, then me and Beth would each just have like one person we're matched up with.
Each, yeah.
And so I would have to like say get a gift for you and Beth would have to get a gift for Emily
right.
or something.
Yep.
Like that. So we still have to get two gifts.
Right.
Which is, I guess it's half the amount.
It's half, but it's only two less at the same time.
Right. It's only two less.
This was like the mental math I was going through. Cause that's the other thing too, is like our family. And I feel like some people, are very surprised when they hear that this is how we do things, but we do open gifts one at a time.
We are like, that is, yeah.
And so it's like, you know, you're talking about, so seven grandkids, five original Carlins and three, so what is that, 15 people?
Something like that.
Goodness gracious, yeah. That's a lot of people.
It's a lot. I mean, the kids, especially like Olivia and Luke and maybe the twins now, definitely are like more cued in.
Yes.
On like, ooh, wait, I want to go again.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Is it my turn
like, yet?
Yeah.
Like, I don't have time to wait for 14 more people.
Right. To open up a gift or whatever. And so that was the other thing in my mind, too. It's like, you know, it's like typically this ends up being like, you know, a 5-hour affair.
Right.
Opening all the gifts. I'm like, all right, we'll cut down on that. But same thing. It's like grand total. You're talking about like
Yeah, maybe you've cut out like six gifts.
Six total gifts.
Total gifts. Yeah.
That's not even half of one like,
yeah,
like round.
Right. And then it's like on top of that, it's like, okay, so like, let's say I don't draw you for the Secret Santa. It's like, well, but chances are I still just want to get you something for Christmas. You
sure.
know, like it like denies me the opportunity. Then it's like, it either denies me the opportunity to get you something, or then I still just have to get an extra one anyway.
Because right.
I don't feel like there'd be anything wrong with like, okay, yeah, I drew Emily, so I got Emily's thing, but like, I also got this for Ben because I thought of him for this thing. But then it's like, oh, but yeah, I got an extra thing for Ben, but then I didn't get anyone else an extra thing.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah. Like it becomes like very like, I don't even know yet, because you're exactly right. Like sometimes like you find something and it's like you're just like, oh my gosh, this is the perfect thing for that person. It's like I can't not do it,
right?
But yeah, so I don't know. It's I was very surprised, because it was almost, I almost felt like I was trying to be like, all right, like I'll give it up, you know, like we'll just do like the other thing. And I feel like everybody, like the all the other siblings and their wives were all like, you know, actually I kind of like buying for everybody and getting something for everybody. It was like, okay, well, so that is what we will continue to do then, and mm-hmm. that is totally fine by me. But yeah, I don't know. I'm very curious to know if like anybody else has like gone through this particular.
I'm sure they have. Yeah, I know certain families just do like the white elephant thing, or people do the Secret Santa, or
oh man,
however it goes down.
I do enjoy participating in the white elephant from the giving side of thing. Like I have like a fun time mm-hmm. trying to come up with like something like truly
yeah
like goofy or weird for someone to open. My favorite tactic is getting like a huge box of like toilet paper,
uh-huh,
like individually like wrapped, like nice toilet paper, because it usually falls pretty easily within like the budget parameters,
right?
And it ends up being like a rather large and impressive looking like wrapped gift
right
underneath. So if anybody's looking for like a really solid like white elephant gift exchange thing, go and seek out some quality toilet paper.
Quality toilet paper. Because, you know, they're going to use it.
They are going to use it. And probably more than that, you know, Bluetooth speaker.
Oh, yeah.
Which feels like another, like, very classic.
Yeah. Yeah. Falls in that category.
Right. What
situation.
Else? Situation. What are other things that are like this?
Oh, let's see. Like a portable phone charger brick or something that's in there.
Okay. Like probably like a Yeti water bottle.
Yes. Like a tumbler or something, like a One True Cup kind of situation there.
Possibly those like Godiva like gold box like candy, you know, like they're like the ones they sell like at Barnes and Noble. Next to, like the counter.
Yeah. Like I can see that. Like, yeah. I remember the best thing I ever though got at a white elephant thing was this giant, it was like 3 feet long sleeve of Twix bars, and I was like, this is awesome.
I have one.
I have one. I got the Twix bars.
That's fun.
Excellent.
That is very fun. Mm-hmm. I remember the very first time I ever did this. I think I... What is the best draw you can get?
Oh, you want the... you want first.
You want first. Okay, I do think I was first then.
Yeah.
In... stage band in like eighth grade.
Oh,
we
man.
Did this, and I remember I opened up like a Jenga set,
which
Jenga is like super fun. I do it, especially giant Jenga, and especially if you go through and you write rules on all of the individual blocks, which I would even say that's even a pretty good white elephant gift as well, is to like customize a Jenga set.
Ooh, so that's
pretty
good.
You know, then it's like, it's not just a Jenga set, it's also a game.
Exactly.
It was a game in the first place, but now it's a game 2.0.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so like, I remember like I got to go first. I didn't really know the rules and I was like very, I don't know. So I opened up the Jenga set and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And I just ended up like holding it the whole game. Like nobody ever wanted
no
to
one
trade
wanted
with
it
me.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's just like, okay, so
right, yeah,
now
that's
I have
sort of the bummer
set. Yeah,
right. yeah this is why it's like that can be tricky though, because if you open sort of like a dud gift and it's just like, well, you didn't get anything fun and no one's gonna steal it from you, and that's sort of a bummer.
So
first I believe you, what happens, whatever you get, you then at the very end of the game also have a chance to steal, because you went first, you never had a chance to steal.
Oh, so then you get to choose. You get to choose.
You get to choose from basically any single thing, unless the person directly in front of you stole your gift.
Okay.
Yeah, because you can't steal back.
Got it.
That's typically how it works.
Yeah. Oh, I got you. I got you. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Starbucks gift card.
Starbucks gift card.
This feels like another one.
Bottle of wine.
But ooh.
Yes.
I'd go for a bottle of wine.
I'd go for a bottle of wine. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can always bring alcohol to these things. Everyone loves alcohol.
That's a good thing. Mostly.
Sometimes. Mostly. This is what, okay. So whilst I was sick, this was the conclusion I came to. Everyone loves alcohol, except people who absolutely don't.
Yeah.
Except people who absolutely don't. But this was, so on the way home from work on the Wednesday, pre-fever, Beth asked me to pick up some drinks at the ABC store. So I got a bottle of bourbon and a bottle of triple sec. Because I think she wanted to make margaritas, for Thanksgiving.
Nice.
It was for sangria. That's what it was for.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't get to enjoy any of that. Bummer. But it is it was so funny because I think, the day before Thanksgiving is a huge day for the ABC store because tons of people have family coming in. So tons of people are going out to buy something for some sort of cocktail the next day.
It's true. Yeah. 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 And it's closed on Thanksgiving Day.
And it's closed on Thanksgiving Day. So I'm in there and it is just packed with every variety of person imaginable, people going top shelf, people going bottom shelf, people going for the bourbon, people going for the tequila. It is all over the place. It's just everyone, no matter what walk of life you are from, whether you have really expensive taste or really not expensive taste in alcohol, everyone still wants it.
That is interesting. It's like this great equalizer.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
Yeah. It was just great. And this kind of great equalizer. We talked last week about that show, Inventing Anna, something that continuously popped up to it. And something I've noticed that in real life and in every television show you watch ever is that no matter what, if you bust out a bottle of champagne, people are excited about it.
Oh.
It does not matter the setting. It does not matter the price of the bottle. If there's champagne, people are yes, I want champagne.
Champagne is one of those. It absolutely is one of those where it doesn't matter. If somebody were to pull out a really, really bad bottle of tequila or vodka or something like that, it'd be I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'll pass.
Yeah.
I possibly have told the story before. I'm sure I have. But when Alice and I were in Paris, we were sitting in front of the yard or the lawn in front of the Eiffel Tower. And it was just this very romantic setting. And there's basically just these guys who walk around with buckets of champagne that you could then haggle for.
Mm.
And I say it as you can then haggle for. You can absolutely haggle for it, just so you know. If you're ever there and you're I wonder if they're negotiable. They are.
They are.
100% they are. So anyway, the first guy walks up and he's would you ask a bottle of champagne? And I was how much is it? And he's $30. And I was okay. I'm in front of the Eiffel Tower,
yeah.
In France, and this is cool. I'll definitely do that. And so Alice and I sit there and we drink the bottle and everything. It's a terrible bottle of champagne.
Yeah.
But doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
It was just but we have it.
We have champagne.
And we're here.
We're in Paris. Yeah. Atmosphere.
Right.
Yeah.
And so another guy walks up because he can see that we're empty or something. And he's hey, do you guys want another bottle of champagne? And I was oh no, I think we're good. And he was really? I'll do it for 15. And I was 15? That's already half of what I paid for this one.
Man.
And I was no, I'm honestly good. We have a long walk back to our Airbnb. He's five? And I'm five?
Yeah.
I was that far off the first time.
Yes, so.
Oh, man. So anyway, negotiate.
Negotiate. Get that $5 bottle of champagne.
Yum.
Which this guy still clearly views as a win.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So it's man, how cheap was it in the first place?
No. If five is a profit, it's $1 champagne you got there.
Yeah.
Something
but you know
that.
What? I still loved it. I still loved it.
Exactly. You know why? Because everyone loves champagne all the time and always. So yeah, I was bedridden basically for 4 days, more or less, over the holiday. Watched a lot of TV.
Oh, congratulations.
Including this was more learning the great equalizer that is the libation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I watched football one day, and typically I will sort of zone out during commercials and stuff, but because I was just laying in bed, I was more kind of taking them in. And there was a lot of commercials for Budweiser or Bud Light. And there was the commercial itself is really, really basic. It is just, you're watching the outside of a can. It's a slow close up of it, and you can see all the condensation, and then it's like pouring into a glass in slow motion. You can see the foam and the bubbles, and they're playing. What is the song? This is what I was trying to remember it as I was saying it.
Oh no.
They're playing, it's like You Sexy Thing or whatever, okay, right? Okay, that's what's going on in the background. And like, I'm watching this thinking to myself, like, this, there could not be a less sexy beer than Bud Light.
Sure.
And this is the music they've got and put it to.
Right.
And I'm like, but also in my mind, knowing that like Budweiser's not a brand that is skimping on advertising. Like, someone knows this is hitting people the right way.
Right.
And I'm like, this is like, people are being excited by this commercial, and it is motivating people to buy Bud Light. And I can't think of a less sexy beer in the entire world.
You know,
like, I would never buy it.
Right. Like, this is just not something. Like, yeah. But like, this is such an interesting thing too. So I have like an entire like piece of this like new psychological phenomenon that I found that I was like, this is just very interesting because I think it's like so telling about so many different people. I mean, not even just about all people.
Yeah.
Hard stop. But it's called personal construct theory. And basically,
wait, is this your name for it or is this a real thing?
It's a real thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the personal construct theory suggests that people develop personal constructs about how the world works. People then use these constructs to make sense of their observations and experiences. The world we live in is the same for all of us, but the way we experience it is different for each individual.
Okay.
And I think it's that last sentiment right there that is like, so it's so very interesting because like where we live in particular in Roanoke, Virginia is like known for like craft beer.
Yeah.
It's like,
sorry, not to like, yeah. Like if you like Bud Light, that's totally fine. And to say I would never buy it, not true. Like if we're at like a party situation, you need a good light beer.
Wow. Big save. Yeah. Big save. Okay. Big save energy.
Yeah, I'm not judging you for drinking Bud Light.
You know what? All the people who are huge Bud Light fans had already signed off. So they didn't even get to hear your apology. They're like, screw this podcast.
What?
I'm done.
No, you know what? Silver bullets all the way though.
Honestly, I would agree. It's the Blue Mountains that get me.
Exactly. It's cold as the Rockies.
Yeah, that's a Coors reference in case anybody wasn't picking up on what we were putting down. What I think is interesting about this with the personal construct theory is that like you go through life and you start to like sort of like build these constructs inside of your brain as to like how the rest of the world works based on your experiences, and it helps you like then anticipate like what might happen.
Right.
And so like as a result, like if we were to go out, especially living where we live, where like craft beer is like a really big thing, all of our friends really like craft beer, it's like if you were going to a party, it might be unlikely for you to like, your personal construct would assume that you're not going to go there and crack open the cooler and find Bud Lights, you would probably expect to find like a session IPA,
right?
You know, yeah. Or something like that. And the idea is sort of that like you've built these constructs based on like reliable enough experiences that there's some expectation that you can then have, you know, in its wake. So then like if you were to come to like a Christmas party at my house, pop open the cooler and find that, it would be like jarring or like unexpected. But at the same rate, it's like this is like our tiny sliver of the world,
right?
That like, I mean, like Budweiser is like probably one of the, like, I mean, not even probably, it just is one of the biggest beer brands on the entire planet.
Yeah.
Like, which means that like there are a ton of parties you would go to where exactly what you would expect is the blue can.
Right. Yeah, totally.
When you
totally
pop that lid.
Yes.
And so anyway, I just think it's very interesting because I think earlier in life, as I was growing up, these personal constructs, I think, were something that were like, they helped me to understand the world. And a lot of like how I built those constructs were probably on the basis of like just what I observed, either like through our parents or through like my most like,
yeah, early, like helps you. It's like what you do to like sort of feel like you are you. They're like, you know, the ways you like define who you are, like your identity or your personality.
Yes, exactly. But what I have found to be particularly interesting, and Alice and I were literally just talking about like how, like we've been together since 2016. So like, is that 6 years? Yeah, 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just talking this morning about like how absolutely different we were when we started dating.
Oh yeah.
You know, and it's like so much of my worldview has evolved drastically.
Yeah.
In those, like, I would almost even say like there are so many situations where I'm like a 180 different person. But like also what's unbelievable to me about that is it's like the person that Alice met and like decided like one day that she like liked enough to, you know, enter a relationship with. It's like, I'm not even like that person anymore.
Oh, I know.
And yet like we're still together.
Yeah. You're totally right. Like even just reading this, like every now and then me and Beth will come across some situation and like she'll like remember something like I said about this situation, like in college or high school or right. something. And she'd be like, or be like, that sounds like a college Jonathan take or something.
Oops.
Where like, you know, like this whole show is like strong opinions about weak things. And I think like on some level, I've always sort of been that way, but I would have been like, it's almost like a joke on the show. You know?
Yeah, right.
Whereas
yes.
like, that is how I would like, just be, you
right,
know?
Yes,
like
yes.
This is like my strong opinion about how the world is, even though this is a very non-important thing,
right?
You
yes,
know?
Yes,
yeah.
And like, I don't even want to say what it was, but the exact same thing is what Alice brought up this morning, where she was like, "When we first started dating, I remember you saying like this sentiment, like this like strong feeling I had," and I was like, "I was not qualified to talk about that.
Oh man,
at all." I was like, one, I don't remember that, and two, that person didn't know. Not okay, like to have a take on it or whatever.
What is funny about these things to me is that like I will have said it like apparently like so vehemently like in my youth, or but you know, I would have appeared to have been so strong willed about it that it like clearly left an impression on younger Beth as well. Like, oh, this is how he feels about this, so I should work around that. But now it's been like 10 years and it'll be like Beth is still working around this one like rule I like, you know, staked a flag in 10 years ago. And right. I'm just like, what?
I do not feel that way about that thing
like,
at all.
I want to say one of the things was like how you wrap gifts. Like you can't use gift bag. Like you can use a bag. Like bag is like so low effort.
Oh,
as
yes,
opposed
yes,
to using wrapping paper.
100% feels like an early yeah. us
yeah.
take on things. Like you use paper.
Yeah, like you gotta wrap it.
Right.
You
know, anything like, else is lazy.
It is lazy and people will see right through it. It is low effort. Like it looks like you didn't care. And it's like, I think I'm like, I know I must have said something to that effect as like a teenager or, you know, early 20s person.
Right.
And like, I remember one day Beth, like tried to like get like gifts ready for something. She's like, well, I'm just trying to wrap it, 'cause I know you don't like bags. And I'm like, what? What do you mean I don't like bags? It's like, you said, I'm like, I don't even remember saying that. It's just like, oh, I'm so sorry.
It is so truly spectacular. Yeah. And it's like, it's so adorable as well, because it's like Beth is trying to like honor this thing.
I know. Like, oh.
It's like, this is almost where you like wish you could have like all of your firm takes in life, like put into like a basket and like dump them on the table. And so does this still matter?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you want to keep this or can we bring it to Goodwill?
Yeah. Get rid of that.
Get rid of it. I know. So
it's, throw that take that's out.
It. So this is your opportunity to go and talk to your loved one and say like, hey, this is a thing you used to really care about. Do you still care about it? Or
right.
can we like let that go
can
now?
We just let that go now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably they don't even remember saying it.
Probably so. Or maybe they do. I guess you're just going to have to go and find out. But
yeah,
I'm hoping we're sparking some fun conversations for people the world over.
Absolutely.
It should be really good fun.
Okay. Well, it looks like we're at about time.
Okay.
But I want to bring up one more thing, which is a phrase that my dear, dear sons have brought up and introduced into my life, which I think is a vastly superior phrase.
Ooh.
Yes.
I'm loving this already.
Okay, so one of the things recently that they got into was flashlights, as all little boys do at some point.
Jay, yeah. as all living people
as
do.
Everyone loves flashlights.
Yes.
So fun.
Known fact about the world.
Known fact. So one of the
I'm unwavering on this.
Yeah. I'm sure I had hard opinions about flashlights in some capacity. I am positive. Anyway. I've asked Beth. What did I think about flashlights?
Maglite or nothing.
Maglite or nothing. Boy, I could tell you right now, I would be like, Maglite? Ugh.
I would not, yeah. Like,
when you got like 4D batteries in there.
Right, yeah. If you're going backpacking and carrying a Maglite.
Yeah.
I promise you, there's a lighter one.
Yeah, I promise you.
But if you need something to use as a potential baton in a moment of self-defense.
I know, yeah. Something to like whack a thief with.
Right.
Yeah. Boy.
Then that's
going to be that.
Yeah, anyway.
Anyway, so when, because they were like playing with flashlights one day, when we go down to the basement, typically, you know, the lights are, we'll open the door and either the lights will be on or off. And for a while, if the lights were already on, they would want the lights to be turned off so that they could use the flashlights to go down the stairs.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah.
It's an adventure out there.
Exactly. Or eventually, now we didn't like doing that because it was like, no, I don't want you walking down the stairs in the dark. So now sometimes if it's dark, they'll want to have the lights on. But rather than saying turn the lights on, what they say is turn the dark off.
Oh my gosh.
Which is like, I just love it. Like, turn dark off, turn dark off. It's like, yes, turn the dark off. Right. I feel like it's a much more hopeful phrasing because like turn the light on suggests that like the darkness is the status quo, but turn the dark off.
Right.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Turn the dark off.
Turn the dark off, which just means turn the lights on.
Turn the lights on.
Yeah.
Oh, that is good.
I know. I was like, ooh, turn the dark off. That's so much fun.
I think it even gives like a sense of like empowerment over the dark.
Exactly.
As if it's this thing you can like just turn it off.
Right. You're in control of the dark.
Turn that dark off.
Right.
Make it be light.
Exactly. Make it be light.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So in addition to our encouragement to go and ask your loved ones about their hot takes.
Yeah.
Also, adopt this new phrase.
Adopt this new phrase. Turn the dark off.
Turn the dark off. Man, I love it.
It
feels like we made like the poster for you at one point in time. Like you can do hard things.
Yes.
I almost feel like turn the dark off.
Yeah.
Could be like, there's gotta be like a witty poster we can make out of that.
I know, right? Turn the dark off. Psh. Absolutely. There's okay. Gotta be something. Something.
There's gotta be something.
We'll put it on a flashlight. Turn the dark off. That'll be our Q2 item.
The official flashlight. Popcorn culture flashlight. Spoilers, it won't be a Maglite.
Nope, won't be a Maglite. Nope.
Okay, well, guys, as ever, if you have any feedback about the show, you can send it over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. I do read all of your emails, so I do appreciate any feedback you have for us about anything that we discussed on any week episode of the show. So, again, popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Otherwise, it is the final month to sign up for the Q4 quarterly merch over on Patreon, which, of course, this month is going to be a very exclusive episode of Jay and I's first ever D&D campaign, which will also, which is a digital perk, but will also come with an exclusive set of RPG dice,
yeah.
Which we have had customized and are currently in production.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be just absolutely beautiful, extremely cool. It comes with all 7 you need for a typical RPG experience.
Yes.
And they're going to be really, yeah, like very fun, very popcorn culture themed. You can check those out over at patreon.com/popcornculture and select the quarterly merch tier. Otherwise, oh, do you have something else to say?
Oh, yes, I do. I was just going to say that also update on the playing cards.
Oh, yeah, good
yes,
call.
Yes, if
call.
You've been waiting on your popcorn culture playing cards custom deck, they are in office. We have them here.
They are, and they're beautiful.
They are so cool. They are so cool. I love them so much. They are amazing. They're just like full of tiny little Easter eggs all over the place. So they are here. They will be in the mail soon, and just be on the lookout for those.
Yeah, yeah. Very exciting stuff. But otherwise, until next time,
pop pop.